Sermon title today is Change Forevermore. Are you changed for forevermore? Amen. Amen. I am changed forevermore. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was changed forevermore. There are those today that say that we no longer live in the age of miracles. There are those that climb into the pulpits on any given Sunday that still say that the miracles of God stopped with the apostles. Well, I'm here today to tell you that we do live in the age of miracles today because we serve a miracle-working God. If you know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you have experienced a miracle because you are a miracle today. The miracle of new birth is the greatest, greatest miracle of all. The miracle of new birth is not just a change of thinking. It's not just a change of direction. It's not just a change of heart. It's all of those things, but so much more. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17 this morning. We'll be there just very briefly. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I know that so many of you know that scripture by heart. We've read it a lot over the last few months. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." No, salvation is not just a change of the way that you think or a new way of doing things. Through a spiritual rebirth, you are spiritually reborn. And I think there's a lot of people in the world today that do not understand that. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, a brand new person in the Lord Jesus. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I shared in CE this morning. I said, now we're going to go back to this scripture today and we're going to be talking about it in the sermon. So you go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 this morning. And it says in verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In verse 1 again, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Each one of us, because of sin, was born into a world that was alienated from God. You are born into a world of sin. Spiritually dead to God is what that means. Dead in our trespasses and sins. But throughout our acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior, because of the acceptance of his sacrifice for our sins, we are spiritually reborn. Now, this is a really simple message, but it has such power and such an impact in people's lives that they do not understand it. A miracle of a spiritual new life. I praise God every day for the salvation that I have received through Jesus Christ. People say, yes, Christians say, well, I just don't have anything to praise God about. Well, I do. I praise God for my salvation. I praise God for the miracle in my life that I have been born again. I praise God today that I'm not bound for hell. I am bound for heaven because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day in my life, I can lift up my hands and say, God, I praise you. I don't know why you chose to save me, but I praise you because you did. I have experienced the greatest miracle that this world has to ever offer. I've been saved. I have been born again. Born again not by the will of man, but through the power of God. I am a new creation through Christ Jesus. As in verse 5, it says this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. As a born-again believer, I today am spiritually seated with Christ in heaven. Now save your place here in Ephesians, but go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. In Romans 8, verse 14, Romans 8 and verse 14, it says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. As a born-again believer, I today am spiritually seated with Christ in heaven. Every day I praise God for my salvation. So why is this important? Because so many of you already know this to be true. Because there are millions that are going to church every given Sunday that are good people, that are honest people, people who want to do the right thing, but still they do not know Christ. Ministers preaching every Sunday and climbing into the pulpit who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want you to understand, but don't take me wrong, we are not the only church that is preaching the Word. There are a lot of good churches out there. There are a lot of good churches out there that are preaching the Word, and people are being saved, and people are coming into the knowledge of truth and knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We had a leader once that said this. He said, we are not the only duck in the pond. I'm just glad that we are one of the ducks. For many years, I believed in God, and I believed in Jesus. But it wasn't until years later that I became saved. You see, I had a change of heart. I had a change of thinking, even wanted a change of direction and recognized the change of direction that needed to take place in my life. But I was still depending on myself to do it and not God. So when you go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, for by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, what? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should ever boast. If you could do it, if you could make yourself good enough, if you could read this word enough that it was embedded in your heart and embedded in your life, that you knew just exactly what God wanted and you did just exactly what God wanted you to do, even though it's impossible for you to do that, it still would not be enough. It took the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for us to be saved today. If you could do it, he wouldn't have had to die. If you could do it, he would not have had to die. Now turn with me to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we go to verse 1. John 3 and verse 1. And there was a man, the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe them, how in the world can I believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who comes down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. You can get excited reading the word, can't you? In verse 1, we see that he was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He knew the word. He knew the truth of God's word. We also see that in verse 10, because in verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Nicodemus, a teacher, a religious leader, Bible knowledge, Bible understanding does not equal salvation. We must be spiritually reborn. I've had people tell me over the years, because this is not the only church that we've ever pastored. And I've had people that I have prayed for them, and I have preached to them. I have done everything with them that I am doing for you today, and they would sit so locked in those chairs, they would sit so locked in those pews, that I would preach at those churches for years, and not one of them would ever get up out of the pew and come forward to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know what they tell me? Well, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church. Well, good for you, but do you know Jesus? Just because you live in a house, it does not make you a carpenter. Just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. And many people, you would be surprised. That's why this is burning in my heart today. You know the scripture as well as I do. I'm teaching you things you already know. I'm preaching about things you already understand. But we as a church body, we want to save the community that we live in. I just don't want to save Attica. I just don't want to save Knoxville. I just don't want to save Marion County. We need to save the state of Iowa and this nation for the glory of God. And the only way that we can ever do it is by preaching the truth and telling the truth. There are millions that are in church today, and maybe they were last Sunday, and maybe they were there the Sunday before, and they do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior because they have not been spiritually reborn again. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. In Matthew chapter 7, we go to verse 21. In verse 21, it says this, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name. And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's bring this down to our level. Lord, I used to go to church. Lord, I helped in VBS. Lord, I taught Sunday school. I even helped with a missions drive one time. Well, that's great, but have you been born again? It's not you're depending on your work, because that's what you're doing. You're depending right back on your work. So we think that maybe works isn't an issue today. Works is just as big an issue today as it was back then. The law wouldn't get them to heaven, and coming to church doesn't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if that hasn't happened, it needs to happen in your life. I don't care if you've been going to church for 55 years. I don't care if you've been going to church for 65 years. You must have a born-again experience. Just like Jesus says, or you're not going to get there. He doesn't know you. The only way that he knows you is because he sees the blood of the Christ sacrifice on your life. All those things is just stuff. That will be a very sad day. It will be a very sad day for many, many good people. So how does salvation happen? I want to take you through the steps, because if I take you through the simple steps that there are, then you'll know what's happening in your life if you haven't been saved. If you turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. John 6 and verse 44. Well, they're active back there today. I can hear them. Must be the Spirit of God in that room. John chapter 6, verse 44, it says what? It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. So what does that mean? We see in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, one waters, one sows, but God brings the increase. And that's what we see taking place here. When you water the Word in somebody's life, like we're watering the Word in your life today, and you have not known Jesus, what the Holy Spirit does is He takes that Word, He takes that watered Word that is in your life, and He supercharges it. And when He starts supercharging that Word in your life, all of a sudden you start feeling to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to know Him as Lord and Savior. And He's speaking that just as loudly in your heart today as me standing up here saying it. You need to make this decision. Every Sunday, there's people that are accepting and rejecting the Word of God in their life. I did it for a long time. You've heard of my story. You've heard of my salvation experience. I was sitting in the pew. The Holy Spirit was all over me. He was touching my life, but I didn't want to give in. I didn't want to let go. I didn't want to turn it loose. And every Sunday, I was rejecting that Spirit that was in me by saying, no, I don't want it. But He is going to continue to energize that Word in your life. You need to make this decision. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. So we see that step one is the drawing power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We look at verse 8 of Romans 10, and it says this. The word is near you in your mouth, and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have enough faith to come to Jesus. That faith is right there. You were born with enough faith to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It was up to you what you applied that faith into. He says in the scripture that everyone has dealt a measure of faith. Enough faith to come to the knowledge of the truth and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says here, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will what? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord of all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So number one, you're drawn. You're drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit to make a decision. Number two, from the very core of your being, you realize and you recognize that it is true. And number three, you confess it to be true. You see, it's not only just a heart change, but it's a heart submission. It's not just an intellectual thing. Oh, yeah, I know who Jesus is. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I did that for years, but I wasn't saved. The heart belief is not just a heart acknowledgement, but a heart submission and commitment. Lord, I not only need you, I ask you to forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and life and be my Lord and my Savior today in Jesus' name. Have you done that? We can say that almost everyone in our church has done that. But maybe there's somebody that hasn't done that. You see, maybe you think that just knowing about God was enough. Just knowing about Jesus is enough. Doesn't mean you didn't believe in him, but have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? Can you see the difference, the spiritual rebirth that needs to take place in your life? I ask you today, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life? Father, let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we'd ask that, Father, you could sweep over this place in the way that only you can do. Only you can do that. But I ask you to sweep over this place. Touch every heart, every life. There may be somebody here today that does not know Jesus. We want them to know Jesus before they leave this place today. And I ask you, congregation, today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If there's one that's here that is not sure, because it says that you can be sure, because we read the scripture in Romans chapter 8, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can know. Do you know that to be a fact today? If you don't know that to be a fact today, that you are saved, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would just like for you to stand up and come forward. You stand up and come forward. Would there be anyone here today? I need to make sure that this is right. I need to make sure that this is a done thing in my life. Would there be one today? Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the preciousness of your word that we can know. It says in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Our guarantee today. We all have that guarantee. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and we have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit that someday we are going to walk on the streets of glory, and we praise you forevermore. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.